Good morning. Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Don't worry, I'm not going to preach on all of the Ten Commandments, so just relax. A couple of weeks ago, Pastor Jack's message was, "Why preach?" One of the things he mentioned was that preachers are often preaching to themselves. This is a message that does just that. Dan Horner is preaching to himself. And hopefully, you will also get something out of this message. Many of you know that the last day of July, I retired. Now, for those of you who have already retired, you might remember that it is a big step to leave the work world. For me, one of the big reasons I retired was because I was tired. I was tired of the grind, tired of commuting on the ferry, tired of the deadlines and the pressure, tired of the same old issues at work seemingly coming up over and over again. And I was tired of being so busy during the week and even busier on the weekends. I wanted more time to be with my wife, to spend time with my friends, to enjoy my hobbies, and to get some things done around the house, which by the way, I actually really do enjoy. I also wanted more time to spend with my God, to know more deeply His Son, and to be more open to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. But there is a danger in retirement, and that is to fill our days with busyness and to forget about spending more time with God. How many of us have heard it said from retired people, "I am busier now than I was when I was working"? That is not what I want out of retirement. I want to be a human being, not a human doing. I want to be the best human being that God created me to be, not the machine-like human doing that our Western society so often forces upon us. So all of this has made me think about the idea of Sabbath. As Christians, are we still under the commandment to observe a Sabbath day? How does Sabbath relate to our Sunday worship? And if we are to keep a Sabbath day and make it holy, what does that actually mean? To help us answer these questions, let's see what the Bible tells us about the Sabbath. Wally read from us from Exodus 20, the Ten Commandments. The Sabbath commandment is number 4. The first 4 commandments are about God's relationship with us, and the last commandments are about our relationship with other people. And the Sabbath commandment is number 4, and it's found in verses 8 to 11. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to your Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Now, there are several things we can mine from this text. First, remembering. The word Sabbath means rest. The Israelites are to remember the rest day. Remember the Sabbath means don't forget to take a day off. Isn't that wonderful? The Israelites had been slaves in Egypt, just as the first verse of this passage said. The Israelites had been slaves in Egypt, so that they were used to working or having to work 7 days. They needed to be reminded to take a day off. In this day and age, we seem to have a strange relationship with work. When we are working, we often long for rest. But when we are resting, we often feel a little guilty about not working. We also need to be reminded to rest, to take a day off. Second thing, keep it holy. Keeping it holy means a Sabbath day aside from all other days as special. Specifically, as verse 10 says, keep it to the Lord, or as some translations say, for the Lord. In other words, the rest is not to be an aimless rest, but a God-centered rest. Attention is to be directed to God in a way that is more intentional than on ordinary days. Keep the day holy by keeping the focus on a holy God. Third, one out of every 7. The holy rest day should be one day out of every 7 days. Verse 9, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the 7th day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. Work 6, rest 1. Work 6, rest 1. That's the pattern prescribed in the Ten Commandments. Note that it does not say that the Sabbath rest day has to be the last day of the week or the first day of the week. The concept of weeks is not even mentioned. The command is simply work 6, rest 1. Every 7th day should be a Sabbath. Fourth, God rested after creation. Verse 11 tells us the basic point of the commandment. It is based upon God's rest after creation. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the 7th day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. This passage is taken from the first creation story in Genesis chapter 2. By the 7th day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the 7th day, he rested from his work. Then God blessed the 7th day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating which he had done. Now we know that God didn't have to rest. We serve an all-powerful God who can do anything and does do everything. Therefore, this is God's way of establishing a pattern for humankind. Notice that in both the Genesis and the Exodus texts, it says that God blessed and made holy the rest day. To bless a day means that God makes that day a time of blessing. When God blesses a person, that person becomes rich with blessings. When God blesses a nation or a land, it becomes rich with blessings. So when God blesses a day, that day becomes rich with blessings. And what does it mean that God made holy the day? To make holy or to hallow is the same root word as to sanctify. It means to set a day aside for a special focus on what is holy, God and God's works. So, taken together, God makes the Sabbath rest day a source of blessing and a focus on God's self. When you focus your attention on God, you receive even more blessings than if you keep on busying yourselves 7 days a week with secular affairs. And the reverse, when you seek your blessings in God, rather than the results of common human labor, you give praise and honor to God as the one true source of these blessings. to observe one day a week as Sabbath is a declaration to yourself, a declaration to the world around you, and a declaration to your God that you know that it is God who provides what you need. What you need in life is not your job, not your bank account, not your position, or your own ability to keep things in control. What you need in life is a trust that God will provide for us. True blessings come from God's grace, not our works. Before we move into what the New Testament tells us about Sabbath, I'm going to briefly address the reason that most Christians celebrate the Sabbath on Sunday, not as Jews do on Saturday, for in reality, the Judaic seventh day of the week is Saturday. The short answer is that Jesus rose from the grave on Sunday, the first day of the week. By worshiping then, we show that we believe this. A good way to look at Sundays are as a series of many Easters strung together. Every Sunday we gather to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ and to remember what he did for us by his life, his death, and his resurrection. Okay, now let's move on to the New Testament. If we really want to understand the true nature of God and God's commandments, we need to look to Jesus, who's the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. Skipping ahead through the centuries to the time of Jesus, we find that the rabbis have added a lot of detail to the Sabbath commandment. Now there are scores of rules and regulations about what a person cannot do on the Sabbath. Even picking up a stick is considered work, and therefore a violation of the Sabbath. The rabbis have missed the point and the spirit of Sabbath as God's gift for humankind's own good. Jesus shocks and or enrages everyone by viewing these traditions in a very different way than the Pharisees and the teachers of the Judaic law. In Matthew chapter 12, Jesus was walking through the grain fields with his disciples, and they start to pluck ears of grain to eat. When the Pharisees saw it, they said to Jesus, "Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath," because harvesting was considered work. Jesus replied by citing the example of King David unlawfully eating the temple bread, and how the temple priests violate the Sabbath by working in the temple on the Sabbath day. Then Jesus says to them, "I tell you, something greater than the temple is here. If you had known what these words mean, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice,' you would have not condemned the innocent. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." Then Jesus enters the synagogue, and there was a man with a withered hand. You probably remember this story. The Pharisees ask him, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" They did this so that they could accuse him. He said to them, "If any of you have a sheep that fall in a pit, would you not reach down and lift out that sheep? How much more valuable is a person than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Note that Jesus quoted Hosea 6 to the Pharisees, "I desire mercy, not sacrifice." Jesus' point was that the whole law exists for the sake of mercy, not rigid legalism to a prescribed law. Therefore, the Sabbath is a gift of love to meet humankind's need. not an oppressive burden to make him feel miserable or proud or guilty. So, Jesus did not come to abolish the Sabbath, but to dig it out from underneath the mountain of legalism and to rebirth it as a gift of a blessing rather than a burden to humankind. The Sabbath is a day for showing mercy and a day for doing good. It should not be practiced rigidly by following narrow definitions of what is work and what is not. It is a day to focus on the Lord. As we see in verse 8, Jesus is now Lord of the Sabbath. So it is a day to focus on Jesus. And it is impossible that a day focused on Jesus should be a burden to a believing heart. Come to me, all of you who are heavily laden, and I will give you rest. Okay, so where does this all leave us? Let me suggest just a few things. Try to rest at least one day a week. It does not have to be on Sunday. Don't be legalistic about it. If you need to work on Sunday, so be it. But humble yourself to believe that you do need a weekly day of rest, and be willing to admit that your wealth and your significance and your true achievement in life is dependent far more on God's grace than your own labor. To observe Sabbath says to God, I can't do all of this on my own. I need you. I rely on you. I need the rest that only you can provide. To prove that, I'm going to back off one day a week and let you take control. Keeping the Sabbath keeps us humble. We discover that this old world just keeps on a spinning without us. Once we learn that, we can take the Sabbath as a declaration that we know that we are not that important. The world will survive, even if we rest one day a week, because God is in control. Observing Sabbath is honoring God's call to rest in Him and to be still and know that I am God. Devote at least part of your weekly Sabbath to focus your attention on God in a special way. Except where you think obedience to God or other obligations require otherwise, let that day of rest and God focus start by attending worship on the first day of the week. This is a witness to the world that Jesus Christ is Lord of your Sabbath and of your life. Your Sabbath day can be restful, but just don't let your rest keep you from worshiping your Savior. Let that worship be a coming together of believers in the risen Christ. Let us nurture each other and hold each other up. This is why we don't worship on the golf course, as the saying goes. Now, hopefully this message has made you think about the idea of Sabbath. Celebrated on any day of the week, could these thoughts on the true meaning of Sabbath be the Holy Spirit Could these thoughts on the true meaning of Sabbath keeping be the Holy Spirit leading you to new dimensions of prayer or renewed Bible study? How about deeds of mercy to those among us who need help, writing a note of encouragement, or visiting a shut-in? These acts are honoring to God, and therefore they are deeds of true Sabbath keeping. But only if done with a heart of compassion and thanksgiving rather than a sense of duty. All of these activities can be done any day of the week and often are. But when we set aside a special day to deliberately focus on a time of renewal and witness devoted to God and for God, it is Sabbath. I recently met a retired couple in the grocery store. I went shopping with Pam. Well, usually at work now, I can go and push the cart. So we met this retired in the grocery store that Pam and I know. When they found out that I had retired, they said that sometimes they don't even know what day of the week it is. Now, this was a little bit disturbing to me. For me, I plan on celebrating a weekly Sabbath day, a day of rest from my everyday busyness, a day to worship with my fellow believers, a day to reflect on how I can better honor God with my actions, and most importantly, a day to remember what Jesus Christ has done for me. Amen.